tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret that my daddy said was just between us. He said daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end, amen. It's a love without end, amen.
Come back in on a serious note.
Wow. Yeah.
Welcome to the second hour of We the People. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And I'm that guest.
The guest. We have an in-studio guest on Father's Day. Be my dad.
We actually let him come in and defend himself, right?
I'm chained to the wall.
Hey, he was going to be here. It's like, oh, you know what? We should do a radio program. He goes, no, that's not a good idea. I go, what? It's a great idea. What are you talking about? No, it's a bad idea.
And here I am.
And then later he's like, okay, that's kind of a fun idea.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about? I go, oh, we're going to talk about all sorts of stuff.
So I got a story. When we were little, of course, all these stories are when we were little because we can't tell the ones when we were older.
Well, we already decided on the break, just to be full disclosure, we already decided on the break that there were some stories we couldn't tell because it made dads look bad. So that's pretty bad. That was going on in the background.
This one kind of does, but not really. My dad was an avid hunter and fisherman, and he taught us how to fish for everything from sturgeon to catfish. I mean, he loved all kinds of fishing, and we loved to go fishing. And so one day he says, boys, you want to go fishing? And I, yeah, Dad. All right, go out and dig some worms. And when you get those worms dug, put them in the car and put the poles and all the gear in the car, and we'll go. So we went out and we dug our worms and we put the tackle boxes in. We had a big pond outside of town that had bass and catfish and perch, and so we knew what to take. At that stage, we were pretty good about what to throw in the car. So we throw all the poles in and put the tackle boxes in and the worms and everything. We go in, all right, Dad, we're ready. So he gets in the car. At that time, we had an old Chevy station wagon.
Okay.
And it had, the tailgate in the back, mm-hmm, that had the roll-up window.
Right.
So we're driving down the road. We're not more than about three blocks from the house. And he rolls the back window up. Well, he didn't look, and all the fishing poles were sticking out the back window. So
snap. You hear,
there goes the tips off all the rods. And I could see him. I was sitting in the back seat. I saw him look in the mirror. I go, oh, man, this is going to be bad. He's going to blow. And he didn't say a word. He just turned the car around. We headed back to the house, and everybody was really quiet. And he said, boys, when we get home, take that tackle out of the back, put those poles in the kitchen. We're going to go to the sporting goods store. I'm going to teach you how to put tips back on poles. It's like, okay, and we did. We went and bought new tips for all the poles, and we sat down, and he showed us how to put them on. But I thought, wow, that was pretty good. He could have really gone off on that one.
Yeah.
But he made it a lesson, you know.
Okay, so I've got one that didn't end with a lesson, but it was fun for the kids. Because it's always kind of fun when the dad messes up. Because
he wasn't,
you know,
a mess up. He wasn't
like,
a mess up.
Okay, so five kids, like I said, five kids in 7 years. And so our table in the kitchen, when we lived in Connecticut anyway, was a picnic table.
They were always picnic
tables. So it was an actual picnic table with the slats, the little slats.
Striped colored.
And yes, and it was
multicolored.
Orange and yellow, in case anybody, 70s. Yeah, we were modern without being modern.
Right.
We lived 50 miles from Woodstock. During Woodstock, never knew what happened, but we did have a yellow and orange picnic table in our kitchen. So we were kind of cool. Somebody would always, so everybody's legs are trapped under there because you're in a bench, you're sitting on a bench, and it seemed like somebody would always tip over their milk, and it would go through the cracks and get all over everybody's legs. So after years of this happening, parents, after a while, dads just get screwed up. They get like a mental illness that's created by their children and all the trauma they get put through. So I'm like, was I in college? I was at least a senior in high school. So we were all a lot older, and our table was a picnic table, but it was flat on top. It was a kind of a fancy picnic table now. It wasn't the kind from a park. And so
from a park.
All
right, kids, grab one corner. We're taking this table home.
Taking the table. So it wasn't like that. So it's Thanksgiving. Kind of a big deal. We're going to sit down and have dinner. And my dad lets out, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just like the edict voice, if anybody spills their milk tonight, we're not having dinner. And it was like, where did that come from? Like, nobody spilled their milk in years. So he's getting ready to sit down for dinner. Boom. Milk goes down. Uh-oh. Looks like Dad did that.
It's true.
Oh. And it was like, we're gonna. And then I remember Mom laughed, and that was the end of that. And we were all, everybody was down. You lost it. That was like,
I know.
That was the day your power went away. I remember it vividly. It was like, he's lost.
He's human.
He lost his grip on it. That was the best, though. Like, wow, did you really say that? That was awesome. I still remember that. Obviously.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest hero stories of my dad was we were at the dinner table, and
dinner table is important.
My mom was on this kick where all kids had to drink a tablespoon of cod liver oil.
Oh, yeah. We did that.
Oh, that was the most horrid stuff. I don't know where she got the idea, but everybody.
You're going to ruin the show.
So yeah, but it gets better. So she knew nobody would. Nobody liked this, so she had this great idea. They made mint flavored cod liver oil, Lord. So that would be easier to eat, right?
Be so much better.
So she breaks out the cod liver oil, and we're all sitting there, and it's like, we don't want it, we don't want it. Nobody would eat it, and she says, "Now you're gonna drink this." And she looks over at my dad and says, "Bell, you tell these kids they have to drink their cod liver oil." And he just looked over the top of his glasses and he says, "Jackie, I wouldn't drink that GD stuff, and I don't expect those kids to either." We were like, yes, he's my hero.
We're free.
And that was the end of the cod liver oil. We never had to have it again.
Rescued.
We were. He saved us. He saved us.
There's just funny stuff. You know, there's just goofy stuff. I don't think people realize how, you know, the best moments in life, you know, they say are free. But I still remember, I don't remember what trip, though. Maybe you remember. It was some trip, and we had packed, and we had all the stuff in the car, and we were, like, gone. I mean, we were too far to turn around. And I remember I don't know, it was pretty quiet. And driving along, and all of a sudden, you're driving, and you go, "Kids, did you remember to pack my hiking boots?"
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember
that?
Do you remember to pack my hiking boots? And everybody looks at everybody else and is like, is he kidding? Like, why would we have packed his hiking boots? You got all mad. Like, we barely packed our own stuff. Because it was always like, yeah, that was your MO, was like, well, we should probably start at the...
We did a lot of hiking.
At the beginning, but it was dark out.
Uh-huh.
It was always dark out.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly your light switch was going on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off. And there was... Yeah, as you ran through the house flipping everyone's lights on and off.
Yeah, that was the time to get up and get moving.
Have you blocked that out?
Oh, I blocked that out.
You blocked that out?
I don't
remember. That's real. And
to the audience, I don't remember that. Yeah.
Full disclosure, this isn't real.
Yeah. Stories by the younger set.
And it's like, everybody, get on some grubbies, pack a bag. We're going to go on a camping trip. And then, you know.
Yeah, we were headed for Canada.
And we were going somewhere
for
like a week.
Yeah.
So it wasn't always
like
a lot
of. You didn't even know it was coming.
Not really.
That's funny.
And we went through ghost towns and kind of different places like that. They had to be very quiet.
Well, now.
Because the ghosts were there.
We did some really cool stuff that I'm sure people would be terrified of now, but the Cascade Highway.
Oh. Yeah.
When they opened the Cascade Highway.
We were there.
Yeah. With our Jeep Wagoneer, our trusty Jeep Wagoneer.
Jeep Wagoneer that got us in all kinds of trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To get rid of that Jeep Wagoneer.
It's four-wheel drive. It'll go anywhere.
It'll go anywhere.
We tried.
Yeah, but I remember the, like, big drop-off.
Yeah, drop-off.
It wasn't paved. It was gravel, wasn't it?
In fact, pine needles are not a good thing to drive on.
No.
They tend to make you slip backwards.
A little sliding.
So when you're going up the hill, they tend to let you slip backwards further than you've gone up the hill.
Wow. And going down the hill, you get there so much quicker.
It's hard to drive backwards, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear the story about the slugs.
Oh, the slugs. Yeah. Well, everybody knows.
We have to take a really quick break, darn it.
Oh, geez, people are going, these
idiots with their slugs. Okay, I've made a note. I'm circling. Okay, I wrote it down, but now I'm circling it.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about.
Strategy.
We're going to talk about the slugs.
Okay.
Yeah, because that is a funny story, and your brother was traumatized by that. He tells it whenever they get off on camping stories.
All you have to do is say camping. And Kevin, and, well, actually, you talk canoe. You talk say canoe, slugs. And Kevin talks about slugs.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. You're listening to We the People. I guess we should tell you how to find us. Let's see. We're at wethepeopleradio.us.
I'm going to watch you shine. Going to watch you grow. Going to paint the sign so you'll always know. So long as one and one is two. Ooh. There could never be a father love his daughter more than I love.
Back in her file and pull out that old memory and think of me and smile and say, it's just an old worn out Jeep, rusty old floorboards, hot on my feet, a young girl, two hands on the wheel, I can't replace the way it made me feel. And he'd say, turn it left and steer it right, straighten up girl, now you're doing just fine. Just a little valley by the river where we'd ride, but I was high on a mountain when Daddy let me drive.
It's true.
Daddy let me drive.
Is that totally true?
It's true.
Oh my gosh, I found that song last night, and I'm like, oh. I remember when I was 12.
Something like
and,
that.
And we used to talk about, oh, when I can drive, it's just going to be so great. But you let me drive once on. It was one of our trips across country, and we were in like Nebraska or somewhere. We were in the middle of nowhere. It was
Iowa.
You could see for 20 miles.
Iowa.
And you're like, everybody was sleeping. It's kind of back to that Chevy Chase vacation deal again, without the Corvette sports car situation. But everybody's like drooling and sacked out in the back, and Dad's like, you want to drive?
Are you kidding me?
I got to actually sit in the driver's seat and drive.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah,
how old were you?
I don't know, like 14, maybe?
Yeah, 14, 15.
Yeah, yeah. No, I wasn't 15.
Yeah,
I was probably 13, 14. Yeah. But all you really had to do was like...
But it was Midwest. They drive earlier there.
Yeah,
there
was
nothing. And there were no cars.
There wasn't.
There were no cars. There was no traffic, no signs, no... You know, there was nothing to do except just hold on to the wheel. But, oh, my gosh, that was like...
Yeah.
I still remember that.
Yeah.
It was a big day.
You know, it's funny. We
No one knows about it.
My dad bought a brand new pickup one time, and he was so proud of that truck. And he came home from work, and the mirror on the driver's side was ripped off. And he's like, "What the heck?" So he goes in the house and he asks my mom, "What happened to the mirror?" "I'm sorry, honey. I got too close to a pole, and I'm not used to the mirror sticking out, and it hit and ripped it off. Well, we'll get it fixed." And he kind of smelled a rat. He didn't say anything, but, you know, because my mom's a good driver. So the next day he comes home, and we're all sitting around. He comes in the door. Now, he's a cop. He investigates stuff all the time. And he comes in and he goes, first thing out of his mouth, "All right, who wants to tell me what happened to that mirror?" And my mom got this look on her face like, oh, crap, he knows. She goes, "It wasn't her fault. I was teaching her how to drive, and she got too close to the pole and ripped the mirror off."
Yeah.
It was my sister.
True confession.
He cracked her like an egg, and then he started laughing. Yeah, it was comical. Because we all knew my sister did it, you know, but it was like, "Don't you say anything to your dad.
Don't you tell your dad."
Yeah. And then she cracked.
Yeah.
He didn't know. He just had a suspicion. So, all right, let's talk about slugs.
Tell us about
slugs. Yeah. Delta. Everybody knows the Delta near Sacramento.
Sacramento Delta.
Huge body of water. All kinds of islands, all kinds of strange places. We decided we'd take a canoe trip, spend overnight kind of wandering through the Delta, the two boys
sure,
and myself.
Sounds like fun.
Sounds harmless enough.
But it was, but there's no campgrounds out there. So you pull the canoe over towards the end of the day, get your stove out, cook your meal, go to bed, and you lay in the grass next to the... to the river.
Yeah.
There's kind of little berms there. You kind of, you're like
seems
a pillow. It's very soft and easy. Next morning we wake up, Sean, the older son, looks over at the younger son, and on his face are these silver streaks. slugs it crossed his face. Kevin goes absolutely ape. You know, like, what am I gonna? And there's slugs on my face, and there are three marks: one over the forehead, one over the nose, and one over the chin. Like three.
It's like a slug highway.
John couldn't believe it. Kevin couldn't get to the water to wash it off fast enough. And Kevin is still thinks about the slugs in the Delta.
Oh yeah, when you hear Kevin tell that story, he woke up and there were slugs all over his body. I mean, he was traumatized.
If they made a movie out of it, they'd have Don Knotts play him, and it'd be like, it was awful, Andy, it was awful. Oh.
The famous slug story.
Gosh, and then there was that time we stayed in some place that had, I remember the grass smelled really sweet. It was some kind of, I don't know what kind of grass it was, but it was really smelly. And it was, and we didn't have to sleep in the tent. We could sleep outside because the grass was super, super thick. And so we just got to put our sleeping bags out on the grass, which never happened. And, oh, my gosh, remember the place was covered with locusts in the morning.
Yeah.
Remember?
We woke up
in the morning and you roll up your sleeping bag.
It was like it was
filled with potato chips.
Yeah.
And all these people camping in trailers and stuff, they have no idea what they're missing.
Oh, camping in
a tent
is the way to go.
Oh, yeah. That gets you right back to nature.
It is nature.
anything can happen.
We had two stops that had buildings. One was at Grandma's house.
Oh, yeah.
In Olympia, Washington. We got to stay there. And, of course, one of my college buddies showed up that Sean will never forget, named Bob Devine. And he had two terrible girls who liked Sean. Anyway, I'm not going to go into that story. But anyway. And the other part is we got to stay at a building in Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
Remember we stayed in the hotel?
No.
And you guys crept out. After 7 o'clock, the younger ones went to bed, and you and Sean took off to enjoy the night lights.
Of course, we did.
Of the night lights of Disneyland.
Of course, we did.
Yeah,
it was like we went on that convention with you in Marco Island.
Yep.
And I think I was in college, and Sean was in high school, and we went out snorkeling, which was harmless enough, and we were not like we were little kids or breaking any rules. But we got out there, and we had never seen things that big—eels and these giant tarpon fish and all that—and we were biting on our snorkels so hard that the next, like, for the rest of the time, we could hardly open our mouths. Our jaws hurt so bad. We were kind of freaking out there.
Yeah, our camping trips were definitely no frills. I mean, you took what you had and you threw a few provisions in and you just kind of went with it. We took a trip. One time we were down in Mexico. My parents spent a lot of time down there. I think it's because their money went further. But we're driving.
It was because your dad could talk to the locals.
Yeah, he spoke Spanish, and so he got along fine. None of us could speak Spanish. We didn't know what was going on. So we're driving down the road, and we're out in the middle of nowhere, and I mean out in the middle of nowhere, as far as you can see in either direction, just a straight highway and a set of railroad tracks running next to the road, and we get a flat tire. So we pull over. All right, boys, we're going to change the flat. And I'm like, oh, God, it's hot. Okay. So we start to change the tire, and we look down the railroad tracks, and here comes these three guys. One's got a pick, one's got a shovel, and one's got a big sledgehammer. And I'm thinking, oh, we're all going to die. These guys are going to roll us out here in the middle of the desert. We're never going to be seen again. And so they come walking up, and my dad starts talking to them. And the next thing you know, he's got them changing the tire. So they get the tire all changed, and they're yucking it up. And we're like, God, how's he do that? You know, he gets everybody to do everything. And the next thing is he pulls out a bottle of tequila or something, and they sit down on the side of the road, and they start passing this bottle of tequila back and forth. Now, these guys are at work, and their job,
supposedly
yeah. Their job was to walk the rails. And,
according to them, they were at work.
I guess they were supposed to pound in the stakes or do whatever they do, and that was they had to cover so much ground. Well, they sat there for, an hour, passing this bottle, telling stories, and then pretty soon they got up, well, we got to go back to work. So my dad had to ride in the passenger side. My mom drove because he had a little too much to drink, and we pressed on down the road, and I thought, wow, could you do that today?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, probably not.
But yeah, crazy. Just crazy.
One of the great moments of my dad's life was on St. Patrick's Day. Kelly The place he worked was the Washington State Liquor Store. He was the chief clerk, etc. And it's a it was a place where everybody in Washington, because it was controlled liquor, you had to go there to buy booze. No, you couldn't buy it at the grocery store. So he was kind of famous in town. Everybody knew who my dad was. And across the street was the local chief of police and the fire station for Olympia. And, of course, every St. Patrick's Day, my dad would put on a top hat in his tuxedo, and he would meet the chief of police at the corner or at the center of the street of Capitol Way, and he would be dressed up in orange. My dad had green. He was an orange Irishman, and my dad was a green Irishman, and they would shake hands on St. Patty's Day.
No kidding.
Yeah,
that was fun.
That was
the tradition.
Tradition. Yeah.
That's what that picture is.
That's what it is. Yeah, right. He was meeting the chief of police on St. Patrick's Day, and he was a Northern Ireland to be forgotten. Northern Ireland.
That's fun.
The Orangeman.
Yeah, yeah.
And he came here when he was three.
Now we know it's three.
Yeah, we always thought he was born in New York. Stories of, you know, if you go back in your history, you get to learn all sorts of stuff now in the days where there's a little bit more information. But we were talking earlier today that some of the stories we were all told about our relatives and you know.
Well, the famous story on the Icelandic side of my background was as I sat as a young lad listening to the stories from the big Icelandic men. The story was that my grandfather, Thorsten Bjorgford, stole his father's fishing boat along with his cousin, and they sailed across the Atlantic to Newfoundland and then trekked into the island to Winnipeg, Lake Winnipeg, and he met his wife and my grandmother.
And he like
married,
walked across Canada,
and then
right?
They walked across Canada to Tacoma, Washington. Yeah, barefoot.
Yeah.
You
know.
All the stories were nonsense. We found the bill of lading, or not the bill of lading, but the transportation invoices.
Bill of lading for people.
From his trip from Iceland to Scotland, Scotland to Britain, Britain to Newfoundland, and a train trip to Nova Scotia from Nova Scotia.
There was a train.
Oh, it was a train.
Near as exciting as sailing a stolen boat across the Atlantic.
but you know, you spend tons of time sitting around. I don't know. You know, that some of the younger families do that as much. But, I mean, even when we were kids, you guys probably did it too. It was always great. We'd get to Grandma's house and, you know, Uncle Carrie and Uncle Bobby and Auntie Karen. And, they'd all be there. And then everybody started drinking. And the stories got a lot better then.
Yeah, but even those, I didn't know whether they're drinking or not, but the stories would come.
Oh, there was totally drinking because we were fetching the beer.
Yeah.
We were fetching the beer.
Yeah, there was drinking.
And we got the first sip. It was a high point. Definitely a high point. Oh, and on that happy note, we have to take a break. Some parent has intervened and is making us take a break before we go off the edge. Ashley, you can be our parent. It's all right.
An early riser, always on timer, a backbreaker, giver, not a taker, made sure nothing was missing so we could have everything you didn't. A patient teacher, strong, steady leader, firm handshaker, never met a stranger, tough as steel, hard to go. It took a while, but now I know all the little life lessons, but you never expected. A thank you, a pat on the back, you did what you did, no questions asked. I could never say enough. Through the downs and the ups, you carried the weight so we'd have a good life. Raised us with love so we could fly. Anyone else would call you Superman, but I just call you Dad.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the man song.
He's the man. He's the man.
I don't take no crap from anybody else but you.
I wear the pants around here when I finish with your laundry. Because I'm a guy you don't want to fight. When I say jump, you say yeah, right. I'm the man of this house until you get home.
He's the man. He's the man.
What I say goes around here, right out the window. And I don't want to hear a lot of whining, so I'll shut up. The sooner you learn who's boss around here, the sooner you can give me my orders, dear. Because I'm head honcho around here, but call him my head.
He's the man. He's the man.
And I can have sex any time that you want. Because I'm a man who has needs, but they're not that important. And don't expect any flowers from me, because if I'm not mistaken, you prefer jewelry. I'm the king of my castle when you're not around.
He's the man. He's the man.
And I'll drink and watch sports whenever I want to get in trouble. And I'll come home when I'm good and ready to sleep on the couch. Because a man's got to do what a man's got to do, and I'm going to do what you tell me to, because I'm top dog around here, but I've been neutered.
He's a man. He's a man. You're the
man. Aye.
We couldn't let Father's Day slip by without the man song. Hat tip to Rodney Carrington on yet another home run. Oh, my gosh. They played that one on Bob and Tom. That's the laughing in the background is from their radio program.
Yeah.
It's better with the laughing.
Yeah, it is.
Otherwise, it's not right. Oh, my gosh. So
the other funny story about my father was when my mother decided she was going to marry my dad.
It wasn't his decision.
Of course not.
On the heels of the man song.
Mother was Icelandic, and of course everybody there was rather large. They're big people. And, of course, the Irish are not necessarily the largest people on the planet. And when she brought my father home to announce to the family that she was going to marry Hugh Ryan, the brother said, Betta, that was her name, Betty, Betta. Why you bring this little man home?
A vote of confidence. Oh, jeez. He had his work cut out for him.
Yeah, because they were huge.
They were big, yeah.
They were men.
They just were big guys.
Yeah.
And they called my dad the Bandy Rooster. He said he'd fight at the drop of a hat.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, he did. He was... we're not going into those stories. Sorry, Dad.
We put a picture of him on the website too.
Way back in the early days, my dad bought an old Willys Jeep pickup. Remember those?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, this thing was a pile of
junk. Right after the war.
Yeah, this thing it was well used. I mean, it had rusted through floorboards, and I mean it needed some work. But he was really proud of this thing. It was going to be his fishing truck. So this one day we go out to go fishing, and we get about halfway there, and this thing gets a flat tire. We're out on this country road. Well, one thing it didn't have was a jack, and we're out in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, what are we going to do, Dad? And he goes, no problem, son. He goes, let me show you how we're going to do this. He goes, you guys go out and go find me some big rocks. We're like, okay. So then we went out, we collected all these big rocks, and he finds this fence post. And so he piles up the rocks, and he makes a lever with the fence post. He levers it up. We stuff some more rocks underneath it, and that's what he used for a jack. And I never forgot that. It's like, wow, you use what you have. I think that was the same trip that he made us eat the fish we caught cooked on a hot rock. We built a little fire and threw rocks in there, and then he laid them out and laid the little pieces of on the hot rock, and go ahead and eat it. It's good. It's like, I don't think that's good, Dad. It's got dirt on it. But no, he had a lot of good life lessons there.
Oh.
Yeah, that was fun.
Dads are for teaching lessons. Yes.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. The lessons was hard work will always get you to the end.
Yep. Yep.
And but, you can't stop till it's finished.
Yeah.
Never leave anything uncompleted.
Yeah,
that's pretty important in life today.
Oh yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it taught us responsibility and you know, right and wrong and all that stuff. And, you know, the funny thing is you don't know if you did a good job until they're on their own.
That's right.
And you see the end product, right. You know.
Well, the other part of dads are the fun part. There's that. I call my father an Irish leprechaun. He was always kind of mischievous.
Mm-hmm.
Mom was the solid one. She made sure that things, kind of like that song we just heard.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It was solid, got things done, and Dad was kind of like the leprechaun. There was always a twinkle in his eye.
Yeah.
About, I think there's a little something interesting over the next hill.
But it's funny, like when we were kids and we'd show up, I mean, those poor people, God loves them. You know, we'd roll in. And here would come the van, and five little kids come pouring out, you know.
Well, Dad, remember the gift he gave you? The Batty Roosters?
Yeah.
Well,
got eaten by dogs.
Here we are in a city.
The dogs ate them. It was a great gift.
No, the raccoons ate them.
No, eaten by dogs, I remember, because I was taking mine for show and tell. Its name was Brownie. And during breakfast, I watched a dog run by with it in its mouth out the back window. And there went my show and tell.
That's a valuable life lesson right there.
That's my slug story.
The other part is tree houses.
Yeah.
You gotta have
tree houses.
I
look back on that, you know. We had that massive treehouse in the back that was like
big.
I mean,
yeah,
that was, and it was really well built.
It was four trees.
Yeah, it was giant. And then the ones that we built in the lot across the street, like the one Sean had, it was on like a 45-degree angle. You had to lay on it and hold one side, but you could still
four was a little jacked
up. But you could use the tin can telephone to call over to the other treehouse. So his wasn't good. You couldn't sit there or anything. You had to just like hang on it on the side. But I thought about that not that long ago, actually, and I thought, I wonder who owned that property. It wasn't ours. We just went over there with wood and nails and stuff and like built tree houses. And you probably don't even know this one. There were these the kids that lived down the street. I have no idea who they were. I mean, they were kids who lived in our neighborhood in Seattle.
Yeah, your friends, yeah.
No, they weren't our friends. They were old kids. They were big kids. They were probably fifth graders.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was like, what, first grade?
Yeah,
Sean was like...
You were bankrupt.
Yeah, Sean was probably a... No, we lived in Bothell.
Oh, in Bothell.
Yeah,
okay.
Back in Bothell. Yeah. And so Sean was probably... He would have been like a preschooler now. So he's like four. I'm like six. So these kids would come down the street. Okay, so how do you scam little Irish Catholic kids, huh? You're gonna roll a scam on some little kids. They're like, hey, did you know there's a leprechaun house in the woods next to your house? We were like, what? There is a leprechaun house out there in the woods. And Sean and I are like, really? They go, yeah, they really like Lucky Charms. And like they had kind of a list of the things they preferred. And so we tear back in the house. You know, we had our mom put all the stuff in the baggies, you know. So we had our little baggies of snacks. And we'd go out there and they had a box. It was a cardboard box with some furniture made out of foil. And that was where the leprechauns lived, was in the house. And so you had to leave the food in the house and then go, because obviously they wouldn't come. They wouldn't come when you were there.
Irish snipe hunting.
Like, how many snacks did we get scammed out of because the kids down the street convinced us there was a leprechaun out in the woods?
They come back and eat the food.
Yeah. But I kind of laughed. And like, talk about a bygone era. We went with kids we didn't know into the woods with snacks. No one knew we were there.
Yeah.
You can't do that now. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know whose woods those were.
Yeah.
No clue whatsoever. But no, we spent a lot of time in the woods. Oh, you know, man. Running around, riding bikes.
Well,
and doing
talking
all
about
stuff.
Woods, we moved back east. Of course, we had the Indian guides, and we're in a scout troop,
oh,
so we
that's
joined
right.
the
we
Indian.
We can't leave without the Indian guide stories, because that truly is a dad nightmare right there. It was only dads and boys.
Right, so dads and boys, and it was a 3-block long street, and a lot of Irish dads and their kids. And so they said, "You're out west. You've got to teach us a little bit about it." So I said, "The Appalachian Trail is close by. Let's go to the Appalachian Trail and I'll show you where to go." So we pack up the sons and out to the woods we go. And we started hiking, and one of the fathers stopped me, kind of pulled me back from the group, and he said, "Do you know where we're going?" And I said, "Well, sure."
He didn't know you very well, did he?
Yeah.
He's like, "Are you kidding me? This guy drives down every dirt road until you're totally lost." But somehow you get
out of
it.
I really didn't know where we were going. Yeah, but it was a trail. It was, you know, the normal-looking trail. People had been on it before.
Of course.
You just turn around and walk backwards. You go all the other... Yeah, no big deal. Well, he said... He's a city-fied kid. You know, the biggest thing he'd been to was an ice rink, or maybe an ice skating.
Oh, ice skating.
Pond.
That was
on
his outdoor experience.
Right.
Yeah.
So he said, if we die out here, I'm going to kill you. He said, I've never been this far into a woods in my whole life.
Now, how far in were you? Like
quarter of a mile.
Quarter mile off the road.
We were
already lost.
But you guys used to go to Colebrook, Camp Colebrook, and that was where they took us there for school, too.
Right.
But that was the Indian Guides camp, and you guys were at, I wish I had pictures of it, dang it. The parade. There got to be, it's too bad it was before social media. The big Indian headdress. You would be burned at the stake now.
I would be.
Cultural appropriation.
Well, we gathered the children, and they made me a headdress. You know, the long cloth, et cetera.
I mean, not the crummy
guy. Everybody put arrows in it. I mean, not arrows. Feathers.
Feathers.
So this went clear to my butt.
Yeah.
You know, off my head.
Wow.
It was always a majestic.
And they marched through town.
They marched through town. We had a
in the parade.
You certainly can't do that anymore.
And Kevin was right there in front. Sean, of course, they had their loincloths.
You guys made like totem poles out of, was it milk jugs?
Yeah, it was styrofoam blocks.
Right, yeah, everybody had to decorate their thing, and then they made these big totem poles, and they carried their totem pole through the thing, and.
Oh,
now we better take a really. Oh man, we're almost out of time. What the heck? Are you kidding me?
But Sean wearing a loincloth. Can you imagine?
Oh gosh,
you know, underwear underneath, of course.
Yeah,
but it was.
Sorry, Sean.
Sorry,
Sean. We didn't run out of time fast enough.
Did you save that loincloth, Sean? I got to see it. Does it still fit?
Sean turned out to be a great dad, so you know. Yeah. Apparently, you do a little time in a loincloth, you'll be all right.
All right.
You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, if you're not totally frightened.
Is this it?
I realized that he was here with me. I looked into my father's eyes. My father's eyes. I looked into my father's eyes. My
helping that Lutheran church. Leaves a man to work all week, save Sunday for the Lord. They don't make them like that anymore. Standing shoulder to shoulder with him now, I still feel small, and I'm still looking up to him like he's 10 feet tall. Something about that generation. These days I think we need them more than we ever did before. But they don't make them like that anymore.
Probably a whole lot of people here on Father's Day thinking,
hey, that happened to me.
That happened to me.
That reminds
me. And they don't make them like that anymore.
Yeah,
a lot
of
great dads out there, and you know, it's really kind of a real disservice in our society these days. You know, men are so marginalized, and
testosterone,
masculinity is bad, and you know, taking your kids on campouts is weird, and making them walk long distances and get slugs on their face, and you know, do paper routes that are miles from their house and shovel snow.
We forgot that story.
Yeah, we did forget that. Although there were
the world of contracts.
We only moved to Connecticut so we could shovel other people's snow cheap.
Yeah, blisters on your hands, building fence.
Yep. I mean, all that stuff, right? And and you grow up and you do work, but you know, we did things that were different. Like when we rolled into Connecticut, it was like, okay, go meet all the neighbors because that's what you did.
And First thing.
Of course, thought we were weird. And then
you're from where?
Had like, yeah, you're from Washington.
Where is that?
Where is that? Where exactly is that? And then you had the, you know, the caroling parties, like
that's
at Christmas
right.
time, you know, you had the big
well,
caroling
the
parties.
The barrel would be filled full of heat. One of the fathers would took a 50-gallon drum and then burned wood in it all day. Till it was just massive coals. He built a special wheel platform so as we drug it down the street in the snow, we could sing carols to all of the neighbors.
And have a nice little...
And we were in a Jewish... Catholic,
we were either Jewish or Catholic. Those are the only teams.
The only teams on the block. So finally, we got to know the Jewish gentleman across the street named Stanley Kinnear through the Boy Scouts and the Indian guys.
He said,
enough of this nonsense, Ryan. He says, you Catholics are doing all the good stuff. He said, next year we want to join you. Because we had a big glog party in the basement after the walking the street and singing the carol.
Because we were freezing. Yeah.
The kids would go down. We'd sit upstairs and drink glog. Ski glog, you know, at the time. That was the in thing.
Yeah.
And so Stanley, next year, he would help all his Jewish guys come, and we'd sing it Hanukkah songs at the Jewish house, carols at the Catholic houses. Because you had to be one or the other down the street.
That's all there was. That's fun.
Yeah. But
you don't see that anymore.
No, but you talk about love and neighborhood and enjoyment.
You were the great organizer.
Oh.
You were always the great organizer. Yeah. Let's have a block party. People are like, what's a block party?
Yeah, well, let me show you.
To get you lined out, obviously. You must be new at this.
Yeah, we did.
It was fun.
Yeah.
When we left, I'm sure they were like, oh, Ryan's left. Now there's nothing to do. Back to what we were doing before. Nothing.
When I was, how old was I? Wasn't very big, maybe fifth grade or so. I had a little accident on my bike that required a bunch of stitches.
So when you flew on the fence post after you slipped off that fig?
Yeah. So I just stabbed myself on a fence post.
Actually, it was a T-post. Right in the heart.
Yeah, it was bad. So anyway, go to the hospital, get stitches. No big deal. Well, we were planning a camping trip like a week later or whatever it was. And so we take off on this camping trip. You know, we did a lot of camping as kids, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
And so we're up.
That's why I had to marry you. We actually knew what the other person was talking about.
Yeah,
it's true.
So you kind of have to check that out ahead of time.
I think we were up in Oregon. We were up on the coast someplace, and we were staying on the beach and in a campground. And so I think we're staying in a cabin, as a matter of fact.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was a big deal. So
$5.
In the morning, we had breakfast, and then my mom says, come on, kids. We're going to go down to the beach. And Bill and your dad are going to stay here for a few minutes. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, am I in trouble?
Bill's getting clobbered.
Like, what's going on with this? And so I look over at my dad. I go, why do I have to stay? He goes, come on over here, son. He goes, we're going to talk.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, the dad talk. I'm in fifth grade, for crying out loud. What's a dad talk? So they all leave, and I go over to the table, and there's a little pair of scissors and a pair of tweezers land there. And he goes, son, I'm going to take those stitches out for you. And I'm like, oh, no way, man. You need to be a doctor to do that.
But didn't the guy who sewed you up, wasn't he drunk?
Yeah, he was drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Turned out at the hospital, yeah, his dad smelled booze on his breath and almost killed the guy.
Yeah, that was a whole other story. So
that's how the stitches got in. It's a drunk doctor.
Yeah, so I sit down. I'm like, no, Dad, we got to go to the hospital for that. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I need to be on a table with masks and, you know, gurneys. And
knocked out, preferably.
Probably knocked out. And he says, no, he says, it'll be easy. He goes, you won't feel a thing. And I'm like, oh, there's scissors involved. I'm afraid of this. And so he very tenderly cut the stitches. And then one tweezers. At a time, got to hold them with the tweezers and ding, pulled them out. And it was like, ooh, kind of just pinched, pinchy feeling, you know. And he went right down the line, pulled all those stitches out. And I thought, man, he's like a doctor in Mexico. I mean,
that's probably why I went there all the time.
I know. He knew how to do everything. It's like, wow, I was really impressed. And afterwards, it was like, geez, it feels a lot better. I don't have those itchy stitches in there anymore. But yeah, he knew how to do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. My dad's medical ability. Let's see. I was immediately struck with how we had our teeth extricated. Mm-hmm.
Was it the doorknob?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
No. you had a loose tooth, it was, you had to like leave your mouth hanging open for a while till the tooth got dry, and you had to come with some, bring some toilet paper that, you know, you folded into like four, maybe a little, you had like a little square of toilet paper there, and then that got in there, you know, this was a kind of a situation, you know, you
procedure.
Had it, yeah, you had it like, you know, around the tooth to make sure it was nice and dry and all that. And then right before he ripped it out of your head, he stepped as hard as he could right on the instep of your foot.
Ow!
And just crushed it. I'm surprised we actually didn't wind up with broken bones. Crushed the instep of your foot, ripped the tooth out of your mouth, and honestly, it was a tie as to what hurt more. And as you got older, you started to notice there was a pattern forming.
Caveat to the audience. Yeah. I don't remember all of this.
Oh, you're going to block that out, too? Yeah, okay. I have four siblings that are going, totally happened. But as you got older, you're like, hey, look, you don't have to do the foot thing anymore, really. I'm old enough. Just pull the thing out. Yeah. Don't step on my foot. But I think he liked it because he did it every time.
Get your foot over here. We're going to pull your tooth. What?
So bottom line is Dr. Bill beats Dr. Ken.
Yeah, that's not exactly bedside manner right there.
You wouldn't want Bill's mom doing it because Bill's mom's favorite saying was, it's a long way from your heart.
Come over here. It's a long way from your heart.
She wasn't really all that compassionate.
Hell yeah.
Oh,
I remember. Hey, you had to pull a mountain ash berry out of Sean's nose.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had to go to the emergency room the first time, and it was like, you had to get called and come home from work when we lived in Spokane.
Yep.
Sean.
Sniffed it up.
He was going to blow it at somebody. Instead, he sniffed and got it stuck in there. And then, then the next time, my mom calls him at work, Ken, Sean's got a berry stuck in his nose. He's like, don't take him anywhere. I'll be right there. And I remember that.
Would you do the Heimlich?
No, they stretched him out on the kitchen table. Give me the tweezers. And they just rammed him up his nose and pulled the berry out.
Yeah.
It's the end of that.
Show me one. I can do it after that. I mean, he didn't stuff him up there anymore.
Dang, we could have done a whole show just on the medical stuff.
I kind of
forgot about that stuff.
I know.
There's some good material there. But you know what? At the end of the day, there was a lot of fun. Oh. Everybody got through it. Everybody grew up to raise their own kids. They're all fine.
Yep.
What more is there?
There isn't any more.
I mean, that's what dads do.
Learn to love, learn to care, learn to work.
Yep.
And the Almighty kept them in his grasp.
Yeah,
and your end product is the fruits of your labor.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had five kids. Bill's family had four kids, and Ash is going to start our final song for us.
Yeah, we all grew up and survived and turned out pretty good.
She's waving at me. I'm not looking. I was looking at something else. I was looking at this little quote we had on the website for dads, but it's going to be too late by the time I find it. So anyway, happy Father's Day, everybody. Thanks, Dad, for being with us. We really appreciate it.
I've enjoyed today. Thank you very much, dear.
I'm glad you came
on.
Thanks, Bill. It was fun.
It was good.
Sometimes I thought he was being just a little bit hard on me. But now I understand he was making me become the man he knew that I could be. In everything he ever did, he always did with love. And I'm proud today to say I'm his son. When somebody says, I hope I get to meet your dad, I just smile and say, you already have. The older I get, the more I can see how much he loved my mother and my brother. That it could, and I only hope when I have my own family. Every day I see a little more of my father in me. He's in my eyes, my heart, my soul, my hands, my pride. And when I feel alone, when I think I can't go on,